Thank you very much for talking to me today. Already, this is your project, isn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about how you got Nelson involved and why it's so important?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having us. It's really nice to talk with you about the film and have this opportunity to share it on a bigger platform. Essentially, well, I consider myself a documentary filmmaker and very interested in the social justice space. So when last year I was looking for a project that I felt connected to and passionate about, and I found that through a Melbourne-based charity called The Life You Can Save, which was started by a philosopher called Peter Singer, who's quite well-known academic and activist. And so through his organization, they represent a list of charities that assess organizations that do the most amount of good with the money that's donated. And through that, I discovered Sanku, and I was just immediately drawn to, well, firstly, the issue of malnutrition is just, I was not aware of the amount of people that it impacts, and also just the solution that Sanku have come up with was a very visual one. And so as a filmmaker, I felt drawn to, reaching out and seeing how we could collaborate in telling the story and giving insight to all the people that are affected and putting their voices on screen. So Nelson, I met really early on in the process because he does a lot of work for Senku, and immediately I felt like there was a really good working relationship there. And he was able to organize like all the people that I wanted to talk to within that space. Nelson was like, yeah, we can go here, we can go here, like let's this is how we can like start to make it happen. So it felt like pretty organic. And I mean, Nelson was the one that I worked the closest with the whole time on the project whilst I was over there. So yeah, really a huge part. And it couldn't have gone as successfully or smoothly without his input. So very, very grateful for that.
You
Cool.
told us lots of things there, and I'll have to say that from my point
Yes.
of view, sitting in Melbourne watching this film, I was really captivated by the fact that I didn't know very much about Africa. I would like to know more about Africa. And so you opened this door to me in a way that was incredibly focused, and we went straight into people's lives. So Nelson, tell us about how you were able to take us into the lives of all these people.
Thank you, Annie. And I think for me, as an African, I would say I had the best context of how to tell the story from my own perspective. So that's why when we started these discussions with Orit, I think in November 2022, like 6 7 months before we even went to the field, at the back of my mind, I wanted to tell an authentic story. I wanted to tell a story. If someone from East Africa watches the film, that is something that they can relate to, and they can say, "Okay, that's me," or "That's someone I know." I mean, and the first time I showed it to our staff and a team from East Africa, and everyone was silent for the 17 minutes and nodding their heads. So at that point, that's when I knew, okay, I told an authentic story, and we were able to capture the feelings of the East Africans, and what it truly represents is what you can see on the screen is what is actually on the ground. So for me, the biggest drive for me was to tell an authentic African story.
Well, you did. And I'll have to say that this idea of, because it's not from the outside, it's from the inside. And that's what's so great. And the film itself is so beautifully made. So you incorporate maps, you incorporate a bit of animation, but you incorporate pictures of the environment as well as the people in the place where they live. So, how did you organize those interviews?
Yeah, so I mean, that's a great question. And I mean, the context here is this is my first trip to Africa, first time, yeah, really just being in such a different environment. And so I had a vision, or I knew the tone of the story sort of thing, you know, because of course with documentary filmmaking, so much is determined by the interviews that you get, and you know, you can only plan for so much. So I knew, and I was very much guided by Nelson, but I knew like the kind of people I wanted to speak to, because the issue of malnutrition is so widespread. It occurs in both urban and rural communities, and Senku do their work throughout all those places. So I really knew that I wanted to visually show those two sides. And because as well, the flour that's milled is like milled by so many independent millers that are servicing their communities. So it was important to have that rural aspect as well. So once I understood more about the work that was taking place, I said to Nelson, okay, I want to talk to these people. I also want to get some drone cinematography, because I think as an outsider, I guess I was just able to know on a surface level, like what parts would be like help to tell the story to an audience that's not familiar with the subject, as I was coming into it. So yeah, so then Nelson was like, okay, we can get these people, we can talk to this person, we've spoken to this person before, they're very good on camera, you know, that's another element as well, of course, you know, people have to be confident and willing to share. And so I was just really grateful that we were able to connect with the right people. And we had only, you know, like 6 or 7 days of shooting, it was very tight. And so yeah, it was just instrumental that everything was well organized and that we could move between places and also get everything that we needed to tell the story. So yeah, it was a challenge, but I feel like it all went really well in terms of the filming. So yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things about malnutrition is that it would be a creeping, secretive enemy, because people would eat but not realize that they were not thriving. That's true, right? So this is an educational film for people in East Africa as well, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the thing with malnutrition is, as you say, it's called hidden hunger, because you cannot really see it. People will eat, but they're eating the...
I mean, they could be fat. They could be fat.
Yeah, they could be fat. Yeah, they could be fat, but you're lacking in some nutrients in your body. And at the same time, you find that a majority of the people here consume one dish, what we call ugali. And ugali is not very nutritious as it is on its own. So as part of the work that Sanku does is to add, to fortify, to add the micronutrients to make it better for people to consume. And you see, the average person will eat ugali in East Africa 2-3 times. Even twice a day, in a week, probably every day, minimum 3-4 times. So you see, it's a meal consumed on a regular. And the other day, I was watching a film, a documentary, I think over the weekend, and I saw people from coastal Kenya eating ugali with just a tiny bowl of gravy, and they're sharing from one bowl. They have this mountain of ugali. And you see, if that ugali is not fortified, these people might be having their first meal of the day in the evening. So that means it's the only meal they're having. And if it's not fortified, if it's not nutritious, they're just eating to fill their bellies and nothing more.
Well, yeah. part of what is so inspiring about this film, and most interesting, I think, is that the types of people that you bring to the screen are so varied. So you've got a fairly, you know, sophisticated young businesswoman, right, who has got this whole idea about what she's doing. And then you've got the rather charming women who are packing in the packing by hand. And then you've got the very smart businesswoman from the country. You know, she's a smart woman. These are completely different characters from what, say, Westerners would idea of Westerners' view of African people. I think it's just fantastic. I mean, it's not like I don't think that there would be all these different people there. It's just that you show us that there's all these people there. This is the power of film.
Yeah, this is the power of film, and I think coming off that as well, like the I would say the only challenge that I really faced was in the edit, and that was to, balance like people's stories with, like you said, the informational parts of it, because I knew when I started, like, we're used to seeing a lot of like short informational charity videos online, and they're effective and they serve a purpose. But I knew my goal as a documentary filmmaker and storyteller was to really go a little bit below the surface of like the statistics and speak to people. So yeah, I'm glad that you felt like you got to meet so many different characters and in such a short time, because it was it was just tricky to balance. It's important that people are informed and know the details and the process, and it's also people important for people to just rest in the more observational moments, and they speak just as much, sometimes even more than statistics ever could. So yeah, I'm really glad.
Well, so are you both happy with the outcome? Because I would be if I was you. I mean, this collaboration has been successful, hasn't it, Nelson?
Yes, and I was actually really excited to see the first edit, and as much as we went back and forth, I was very excited to see how the story came together. And as you mentioned earlier, we tried to show a balance of the urban and the rural, and how they both, you might think if someone is in the urban areas, or say living in a big city like Nairobi or Dar es Salaam, they are not malnourished, or they're not suffering from that, or they are not affected at all. But then you find that it cuts across the city or the rural area. It was good balancing that, going to the rural area and seeing the smart businesswoman who is trying her hand at farming and milling, and balancing that, and also going to the urban area and seeing the smart businesswoman as well. Trying to provide her community with nutritious flour.
Have you found that the film has been a helpful tool? You were trying, I mean, it's at the Melbourne Film Festival, Documentary Film Festival. And like I said, I feel that I've learned quite a lot of stuff actually from your film. And it's a very tight and very well-made film. So is it a good tool for what you're aiming for?
Yeah, so I mean, the intention right now is that it's entering the festival circuit and it's getting, screenings in cinemas, which is so exciting. And Nelson can also speak to the screenings that have taken place in East Africa. We did have a kind of celebratory screening for it in Sydney, which was a private event, but it was a fundraising event as well. So it has, raised a lot of funds for Senku, which is, a huge part of the reason why we made the film. And yeah, I would say around the end of this year we will release it online so that everyone can watch it. So yeah, it is, yeah, I mean, I think Nelson as well will have thoughts on like the plan after the festival circuit, but yeah.
So far we've achieved quite a lot with the film. Initially, when we did the first screening in Melbourne, in Sydney, I think, we raised about 107 Australian 107,000 Australian dollars, and this was, of course, in partnership with our partners, The Life You Can Save, who helped us put that together. And in that private screening in East Africa, what we've done is sort of use it to educate the people. And we've done two private screenings as well. We've done one in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and we've done one in Nairobi. And the kind of people we are showing it to is, in Nairobi, we had our own staff. We also had a team from government, various stakeholders in the nutrition industry. Same as in Dar es Salaam now, we had a wider pool of people from the aid agencies, government, private sector. So although the two are private screenings, going forward, we want to, once we've made it public, we want to use it as a fundraising tool and also as an educational tool to bring the issue of hidden hunger to the fore.